All right, man, it is yet another Tuesday night. I'm Brother Marcus from God Identity and Ministry. Excited about this word tonight. Praise God. We thank God for the men and women of God who have come to assemble tonight under the umbrella, under the blood of Jesus Christ, in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank God for each and every last one of you. I pray all is well. Praise God. We're going to get into some things tonight. Hallelujah. Trying to, of course, I know y'all tired of Brother Marcus saying this, but I was trying to preach. Once again, I say one day we will, I guess in a different setting, we'll go into, being vessels and how to let God use. A lot of us don't know how to let God use, and praise God. And so we'll go into that in a different day. But in order first to understand God is to not necessarily just understand him, but to because you'll never have God figured out. Praise God. God will, we mature into friends of God, and you will, as you grow up, you will understand more, but you will never have God. He's a genius. He's too big for our little pea brain. Praise God. And so as you grow closer to something or anything, you will see it more clearly, and you will understand more, but you'll never have him all figured out. He's just God. And so as we begin to follow him, his intention, which is his will, becomes even more clearer to us. And I'm not going to lie, Saints of God, there are things oftentimes that I've read in the Bible in years before that I struggled with. And I say struggle to understand why God did this or why he did that. And it wasn't until experience and walking with God you begin to understand why he did things this way or why he wants them to be done a certain way. And so it led me today as I was working a little bit today. And I was eating with some, I have a business, my brother and I have a property detailing business, but the employees don't work for me. I always tell them they work with me because we're in this together. And as we were sitting at lunch today, they were asking me just various questions because we had never sat in an intimate setting, so to speak. It's always been work related or whatnot. And thank you for taking the time to listen to Brother Marcus, but we're going to, I promise. So as we were sitting and they were asking me various questions and things of that nature, because they had never seen a personal side of Brother Marcus. It had always been a work setting. And so they got to see another aspect of me. And so as we begin to get work along, because they have been working for me for about a year and are working with me for about a year now, As you begin closer, grow closer to people, more is being revealed. And a lot of things that are revealed are not what is expected. So we can go in thinking we know somebody or figuring that and just absolutely mind blown. And so God had begun to minister to me today about birthright. And how we can be birthed from a place, a region, or a people, or whatever it might be, naturally. And that just be a door open for God, and meaning opening for God, that they birthed from a certain place, but God has them, so far different from where they originally started. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, he was talking to me about birthright and how the Bible talks about for us to enter into the kingdom, we must be born again. Because if we're not born again through the confession of Jesus Christ being our Lord and confessing our sins, giving to God, the exchange with repenting is now you have birthright. Hallelujah. This is one of the, Brother Mark, is one of the least aspects that are preached about the cross that are so important. because you have no, as you can see through the children of Israel, God used prophets and things of that nature, but we could not come near because we had no right. And through the shed blood of the lamb dying, he restored birthright. And this is no right, because without the birthright, you have no right. You have no rights to the kingdom. You have no rights to the throne. You have no rights. You have the right of what flesh has given you, or what you have been born with, but to be born again. Oh, this is restoration. Hallelujah. Praise God. Unless there's repentance, there cannot be an exchange. So this is why reconciliation is so important to God. If it's possible to be reconciled, albeit do it. Because with reconciliation becomes now a new birth in a relationship or whatever, and new right and rights. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know when I was in the world, even when I was saved, and we will go deeper into these things at another day. But when we are offended and things break down, that individual has no more rights because of you, because of how you see them. They have no to you, not necessarily to God, but to you. And so we oftentimes think God thinks as we do. But God never makes moves without intention and without being wasted. We know this. Praise God. So nothing is wasted. Even if somebody renounces their rights to you or you to them because of offense or because just downright bitterness. And this is what these things do if they renounce somebody's rights, because we're fearful of the pain, or fearful of the hurt. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to go somewhere tonight. And here's how we cut off our own blessing because of our own, how we feel, or this, that, and the third. And I'll show you some tonight in this message that sparked because God was ministering to me about birthrights, but also he was ministering to me about how rights are shut off, how birthrights are given up. The Bible says God hated Esau. Why? Because he renounced the very thing that was going to bless him for in his family line. So y'all turn with me. We're going to go into the title of this message is birthright. This is very important to the saints of God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Genesis 26 and 16. I know y'all know the story of Esau and Jacob. I pray you do. Very important to your walk. Very important to you. Very revelatory. And the Bible says that that Rachel, Isaac's wife, first of all, they were barren, if you didn't know. They didn't have babies. And the Bible says that Isaac entreated the Lord. And the Bible says she conceived. And there's something about entreating of the Lord, how it causes pregnancy. Praise God. Well, y'all hear Brother Marcus always talk about we should be the most seedful people. Seedful people are fruitful. You know why they're seedful? Because they entreat the Lord. Because God is the Father of lights. He's the Father of glory. He's the Father of power. He's the Father of life. And you can't enter in and entreat the Father of life and not be pregnant. Now, I say pregnant, pregnant in the spirit, pregnant with love, pregnant with the essence of him. Because when you entreat him, you connect with him. And I'm not talking about the God of our minds, but I'm talking about the God of the word, the true and living Jesus Christ, the living water. You cannot entreat, this is a tweet, if you cannot entreat the Lord and not be pregnant, period. Enemy knows this. And so the Bible says that Isaac entreated of the Lord. That's 19 through whatever in chapter 25. And Rebecca, his wife, became pregnant. And there's something about men of God who entreat the Lord, how their families increase and multiply. And this is just not physical. I'm talking about spiritual itself, life. When heads of families entreat the Lord, it's a trickle down. I had a saved mom and an unsaved dad at the time, but he's saved now, thank God. And she entreated of the Lord. And now all four of her kids are pregnant, got pregnant, birthing out fruit, birthing out. Because you cannot entreat the Lord and the people that you are over, it has to affect. It's going to infect you. The Holy Spirit is infection. The life of God is infection. Hallelujah. Praise God. The character of God begins to rain out in your life when he's entreated. Praise God. Life is in the form of the seed. You notice Eve ate the fruit, but she forgot about the seed, which is him, which is life. So once the enemy, she ate the fruit. Praise God. And once she had that conversation, and conversations can be people plant things. Once she had that conversation, she ate what she wasn't supposed to. She ate the fruit of the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we are of the, this is what the Bible says, we're of the promise seed. Hallelujah. And when you're of the promise seed, you have birthright. Hallelujah. Birthright. I promise you I'm not going to do this justice. I pray that y'all continue to read. But anyway, this is just too fascinating. And this affects every area of our lives. So Isaac entreated of the Lord and Rebekah, who was, she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, another story. She had twins, and this is a theme throughout that. There were quite a few twins being birthed out in the Old Testament, and it's a theme, and we'll go into why they were twins, whatnot, and what they represented at a later date. But the Bible says the twins struggled within her. Notice it didn't say without her. It didn't even mention the struggle, although they had struggled out. But the, when you're pregnant, there is a struggle. And she once again, she entreated of the Lord. And she asked God, God, why am I thus? And this is, we preached from here before, but I promise you, didn't do it justice. And so she asked the Lord, she entreated the Lord, why am I thus? I'm pregnant, but I'm struggling. And this is more than just labor pain. This is not just a woman being pregnant, having labor pain, laboring to produce. But the struggle was within her. The struggle was within her. She had never had kids before, but she knew that there was something different. She had struggles within her. And she went to inquire of the Lord. This is what makes Rebekah, Isaac, you see the, if you will, the forefathers of faith who came before us. They were absent on who was with them. They would entreat the Lord in a heartbeat. Powerful stuff. So they struggled within her. And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said, there are two nations in your womb, two manner of people. He turns around and says, one will be stronger than the other. Holy. They didn't have sonograms at that time. So God told her there will be twins born to you. You have a struggle. Now, it's so prophetic and powerful. If you look at this picture, two nations struggling within side of her. Two nations. As we have two nations, one obviously lesser than the other. Flesh lesser than spirit, struggling with inside of her. One leaning to the one way and one leaning to the right. But God never intended you to serve flesh. He always intended the flesh to serve you. And I say serve, that be lesser than the spirit. We live in this flesh, but we don't serve them. She has two, she's having these twins from the same DNA, but not from the same spiritual makeup. And they believed and were fulfilled, and behold, there were twins in her womb. And y'all know the story. One came out red and hairy, and he was Esau. And then one came out was Jacob. Esau came out first, and he took hold of Esau's foot, and his name would be Jacob, probably. And she tied a red strand. We'll go into that some other time, why she tied the red around Jacob. And they both grew, as children do. And one was the hunter. Probably. One was the hunter dwelling in fields. He was a killer, a man of the field. And the Bible says Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Ugh, so much. But we don't have time tonight, but we might continue this next week. One, a plain man dwelling in tents. Now it's verse 27. So I give you a chance to go back over it, because we might go back over it next week. Probably. So brings us to the place of our birthright. Same womb, same seed. Different manner of men. Self same God. Different spirits. Different manner of men. I didn't say it. The word of God did. And this is why you must understand that somebody could be strong. Somebody could be powerful, influential, and still be wrong. So the Bible talked about how Esau and his wife, as they got older, were a grief to Isaac. They were griefs. So this tells you a little bit. This goes into the character for what someone loves tells you about them. Now watch this. We're going to start in 29. I'm going to go more into that. The Bible says in Isaac, or 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Now Isaac loved what Esau did for him. And so quite naturally, it pleased Isaac, who was a promise. Isaac was a promise. And so Esau was a hunter. He could kill, slay, do all these things. Isaac loved him. And we can love somebody and be close to somebody, and they still not love God. And this is what makes the difference. Because things that are important to God have to be important. Things that were important. Jesus came down here because people were important to God. God so loved the world. So Isaac loved him. And Jacob saw pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was thankful. So he was running. He was doing what he did, and he was thankful. At people's worst, and not their worst behaviors of them, but at their faintest moment, it'll tell you exactly, not necessarily what they love, but how far they, what they think is important. And this is a test for everybody. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. That is a series all in of itself. Why Esau was Edom, faint. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Now, was Jacob a trickster? We know he was. No doubt about it. And he paid for it over his life. But it still didn't change the fact that he valued the precious thing. So see, people can make, and I'm not an advocate, but I've seen it. Well, we can make decisions that would not seem, but that are tricky, and still understand what the most important things in our lives. Is that you can see people still love God, have some issues. I'm not talking about blatant out and out like you're seeing Esau here. But Jacob knew he knew that birthright was important. He knew it. And we see people selling their birthrights all the time for short-term gratification. Jacob was a long-haul individual. He knew that birthright because in Jewish tradition, the birthright, the firstborn, and the birthright of somebody, especially, he wasn't the firstborn, but Esau exchanging the birthright, he got a double portion, but he also got great responsibility within the family, to leading the family. Praise God. Esau was no leader. He was a killer. He was no leader. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die." He said, "Sell me," or I'm sorry, 31. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." If you know anything in the spirit, or if you know anything about God, you know how big God is on birthright. Because birthright is attached to identity and what you identify. Even the same in our natural. Even if I'm renounced from my family, that doesn't change the fact that through DNA, I still have a birthright. Our birthright has everything to do with identity. A lot of people say our identity, but if you don't know your birthright, you will never know your identity. I know that I am only engrafted into the shed blood of Jesus. Just because I'm not Jewish, that doesn't mean I don't have birthright, because I've been adopted and you've been adopted. Don't let your fear, don't let, praise God, anyone tell you different, that if you are blood-bought, which I pray you are, you have birthright. Praise. You have birthright. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point of dying. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" You see how he disvalued something that's so precious. He said, "What is it good for me?" And this is the mentality a lot of us have. Well, God, what can you do for me? By your birthright, he's already doing it. He's already done it. Through the shed blood of God, you've been in the family. Hallelujah. 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 He said, "What is this birthright to me? I'm about to die. I need something to eat." And this goes, now you would think, man, this is kind of off, so to speak, not the word, but he was a killer. You would think he could go out there and hunt. So you see, it's probably on the, not probably, but this goes a little deeper, that he was tired. And when he was tired, we oftentimes forfeit the things that are precious and the things that are important for short-term release. This is how a lot of us get modern sexual sin and different other, this is tied to so many other, not just sexual sin, so many short-term gratification, affecting long-term, hallelujah, blessings and long-term connection with God, that which is the blessing. and we have mistakes that we make up. But you see, the Bible says there will come a time when a lot of people will fall away from the faith, because it's just what we're seeing right here in real time in the Word, that the faint makes us faithful. What God intended for us to hold on even more. When we were weak, we are strong. This is why he said, my grace is sufficient enough. Paul had the same scenario. He was tired. He had a thorn in his flesh. God tells him, my grace is still sufficient. He didn't forsake his birthright or the burden of those rights. This is extremely important, because you're seeing it now even more. So Esau, which he birthed through his renouncing of his birthright, Edom, it wasn't a sin to be tired. Jesus was tired. It's not a sin to say, hey, I'm laboring here. But the faintness wasn't from him not, that was just a mirror, that was just an aspect of him not eating. But the faintness came because he was thirsty and he was hungry. And because I can be physically hungry and I ain't giving up God. No, but he valued his stomach himself over what has been solely given to him. That was so precious. Watch this. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him. And he said, his birthright, he sold his birthright. He sold it. He sold him something that is sellable, but has no price. There's not a price big enough that should be evident. And Jacob, although he was a trickster, he was very wise. And although he was cunning, and in fact, his name Jacob means trickster, he knew what was the most important thing. He knew it. We must know that our birthright, and know our birthright, and that they're more precious to you than anything, because what the cost of it was. This is why Jesus had to come and not you, because there needed to be a price to be paid, and you didn't have it to pay it. And to use something, and to sell something so precious for some stew. It's not that the birthright is cheap. It's that your understanding of its value is void. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Jacob knew that this was the most precious. Watch this. And Jacob swore unto me this day, he swore unto him, he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat, drink, rose up, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Isn't that something? Now, they're in the same house, mind you. Same house, same parents, same Isaac and Esau, if you will, the Hall of Fame of Christendom in Judaism. Same house. One valued the long term and valued the God that gave these, and one didn't. Hallelujah. He loved to Esau, provided for his dad. His dad loved him, as you read it. The promise loved him. But he didn't love the promise, meaning he loved his dad, but he didn't love the principal promise, the birthright, the rights of birth. And this can only be seen through connection and identity, through connection and understanding who God is. This is why it's important that you might be out in the field, but you have to feed yourself this word. But because the biggest mistakes oftentimes we make in our life is because we're tired. We're faint because we're not feeding her. The more precious, Titus tells us to build up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He was willing to give up, and I'm not going to say eternity because I don't know where he went, but I know he despised his birthright. And the Bible says God hated him. I'm not going to make that kind of judgment that he, whatever, but I know God wasn't happy. So we have to ask ourselves, and this is why I always tell you, encourage one another, because Brother Marcus has been there. I ain't giving him my birthright. But I've been there, so tired, so faint. Thank God for the prayer warriors around me to encourage me, because I don't want to see anybody give up their eternity in something so precious for instant gratification, for flesh gratification. Esau's faint and his tiredness begin to speak to him more than his birthright. You've got precious promises. You got rights at birth. We are reborn into the kingdom of God. You got rights. Not maybe, not. They're still voting. No, you have these rights through the Holy Ghost to overcome all the wiles of enemy, even your tiredness, even your faint. And we can get drunk in these states off the situation. But loyalty and understanding in the right place will empower you. Realizing, meaning God is still your strength, that we can get drunk in that place and all we think about is gratification. Think about it. Before you know it, we get consumed. And then the things of God become of less value. As you see, he's like, what is that good to me now? It's everything at every moment, at all times. And this is why Jesus tells them, be it so according to your faith. Hallelujah. We're going to stop right there, thank you, God. I think we're going to go back into that next week, I promise you. Brother Marcus never does the word justice. I can't justify it anyway. He just is saying by itself. But praise God. Your birthright is given. It's been purchased. Hallelujah. It's been granted. And I know you're tired oftentimes and things, but use your birthright, which is the name of Jesus Christ. We are hidden in God. Don't give up on it. Hallelujah. Or don't give them up. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to stop right there. I promise you this word just gets you. I'm Brother Marcus from God Ordained Ministries. Once again, thankful and appreciative of each and every last one of you. Hallelujah. We are, we have some powerful prayer warriors, men and women of God, ready to stand and agree with you on any situation and whatever God has for each and every last one of you. Praise God. We're going to believe God with you. Hallelujah.